Sponsorship of the Be Our Guest podcast is brought to you by great folks like your friends over at virtualmickey.com, home of great iPhone apps like Days to Go WDW. Days to Go lets you count on the days until your next Walt Disney World vacation with style. Right now, I'm glancing down at my iPhone 6 Plus, and I can see that I am down to a mere 71 days to go until the Star Wars Dark Side Half Marathon weekend in April. And every time I get a text, get a phone call, or update Twitter, which you know I do often, I know how many days I have left to go until my vacation. Not only that, when I click on the app, I'm getting great pictures, customizable text. I can title the vacation whatever I would like. I can use it again and again. I do that, three or four times a year lately. And I get an audio alert every afternoon at 2:05, letting me know you're one day closer to your Walt Disney World vacation. Check this out. It's a great app. We had a listener tell me about it. She's 4 days away, counting down to our next trip. You can do the same. Drop by virtualmickey.com today and check out Days to Go WDW.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 971 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and MagicalMouseRadio.com. Yes, we survived the Live 365 Armageddon, and we're still there. So check us out, MagicalMouseRadio.com. New platform, lots of new tracks, and huge numbers this week already. So thank you to everybody who made that switch with us. We have lots of ways to listen, especially now on the TuneIn app. You can listen there. I know a lot of folks are taking advantage of that. We're going to write our own standalone apps for iOS and Android as well. So stand by for that. We're still getting the music transferred over, to be honest. We got it rolling, but it's going to get better and better each week. Huge shout out to listener Brian down in Springfield for helping me with all this. Couldn't do it without him. And lots of sleepless nights, but we're getting there. So I think I see the light at the end of the tunnel. So again, thanks for the support of Magical Mouse Radio. But let's talk some Disney here, answer some listener questions on a one commute question show. And joining me while she's updating the Be Our Guest podcast website as we speak, I know she is because I can see it. We have Ricky from touringplans.com, a DisneyWorldAfterAll.com, and The Mouse for Less. Happy Wednesday, Ricky.
It's not fancy, but it works. That's all I can say.
Yeah, we don't have the prettiest website, but you know what? If you need anything with the podcast, it's there. So check it
Absolutely.
Out.
Absolutely. Yes, go check it out. I like I said, it's not fancy, but it works. So. Yeah.
And also, I don't know, we just added this, just a little plug here, but if you're looking to travel to Walt Disney World this summer and want to save some money on your Disney vacation, click the link to themagicforless.com and a certain podcaster will get right back in touch with you to help you plan that vacation.
I wonder who it is.
Just saying. All right. Also joining us, speaking of the Magic for Less travel, we have the co-owner, Pam Forrester. How's it going on this Wednesday, Pam?
It is going great. And we hardly had a chance to even talk about that offer that was save 30%. Well, I don't know why it's being billed as a 25% offer, but until a certain date, it is still 30%. So anyways, it is, I'm just glad actually that Disney is releasing some of these specials in enough time that people have time to plan this stuff. Mm-hmm. I mean, because remember when it was before, it was so last minute. So anyways, in years past.
It's almost like Disney's hurt us over the last, year or two.
Yes,
you know,
right?
We joke about that. But to be honest, I think that they are being more responsive to the voice, especially of the internet community, but as Disney fans in general, I think.
I think they are too. I mean, they don't release them all at the beginning of the year, which I would love to see, but I know that's kind of dreaming, but anyways, but they do release them so much earlier than they used to. And so, you got to appreciate that. But anyways, the save up to 30% ends on February 28th. So if you want to save up to 30%, you have to book by February 28th. And then if you want to just save 25%, which I don't know why you would only want to save 25%, but whatever, you can book up until March 31st. And just a reminder that it only takes $200 to hold the package. And that is fully refundable if you don't If you're not purchasing insurance up until 30 days out, so 31 days out. So.
Yep. And
think of all those things.
It's kind of weird, though. It's a leap year. Why didn't they go through February 29th?
Yeah, right.
There's a counter not up to date or something.
If you want to know the honest to God truth, I bet they forgot.
I bet you they did too. Oh my gosh, there's a 29th this year. What do you know? That's so true.
Because I think, like, in some little office down in Celebration, they make these specials years in advance.
I know. That's it. You know, and I think, you know, if you go onto their website on February 29th, you'll get the, sorry, we had to duck out because we don't work on leap day. So yeah, try again tomorrow.
Oh, and the other special that was recently released, well, sort of a special, is that they cut the Disney Cruise Line deposit by 50% on 7-night cruises. So, hello, if you were ever thinking about that. I know, right? That's usually, that's one of the things that, like, makes people take pause is the deposit amount, but it's cut by 50%. So, that's kind of cool.
Good times to get down to World and sail with the Disney Cruise Line. Check out the fantasy. But let's get to the emails. It's time to do that. One Commute Question Show. So here we go. First message comes from Lisa Truesdale and says, hey, BOGP crew, I just wanted to send along a note about annual passes. We bought ours just prior to the increase. We actually read about them as we were waiting to board our plane home. And I have done a fair amount of digging to see if the changes would affect us. Here's what I've learned. If you bought an AP before the price increase, you don't have access to the photo pass benefit, but you can upgrade your AP to the new one to add it. This runs about $100, the difference between the old price and the new one, and doesn't change your AP expiration date. We upgraded one of ours and had immediate access to photos from our October trip, as well as no problems downloading photos from our quick trip in December. Since we had planned to purchase Memory Maker for a longer family trip this spring, the $100 upgrade was worth it. For those that bought vouchers prior to the price increase, I've seen a lot of reports that when you trade it in, you'll get the new AP benefits without the extra price. It seems like they can't create a new AP with the old benefits. I hope this helps someone out there who might be in the same situation. All right, so Lisa, thanks so much for the info. And Ricky, I think this is exactly right because we've kind of gone back and forth on this, but this is exactly what I'm hearing from people that have been there in the last month or so.
Yeah, absolutely. That's exactly what I've been hearing too. So, good information. That's for sure.
That is good stuff. All right. Next question comes from Brandon down in Memphis, Tennessee. He says, hello guys. Discovered the podcast several months back in planning my March 2016 trip to the world and have since caught up on nearly every single episode.
Wow.
I know. That's a
lot of us.
That's a lot.
Wow.
Yeah. Love the show and appreciate all the effort you put into it. I'll be at Walt Disney World from March 3rd through the 10th. With my wife, father-in-law, and 18-month-old son. I cannot wait to introduce him to my favorite place on Earth. Would love to do a trip report once we return. A couple of quick questions. One, with Easter falling a bit earlier this year, what do you expect crowds to be like this week? I know there is no quiet season anymore, but I'm hoping to beat the spring break crowds. And number two, we're spending just one day at Universal and hoping to tour both parks. Is Express Pass worth it, and what tips can you give on seeing both parks in just one day? Again, thanks so much, and good luck Star Wars Dark Side weekend, I'll say, instead of the race that was mentioned. Which, hey, I made dopey, so there you go. So Brandon in Memphis. All right, so when is Easter? I'm kind of looking on the calendar here. Easter.
Easter is
because he says it's
on March 27th.
So Easter's the end of March. He's going March 3rd through 10th. And so what I'm thinking, again, I'm a public school teacher in the Midwest, but we kind of mirror the South as far as our schedule. We get out a little bit early and go back early. Our spring break is, I believe, the week of March 21st, the week before Easter week. So Easter's at the end of our spring break. And I think a lot of districts are having that. So I think that he's going to be, you know, the crowds aren't going to be low, but, you know, the 3rd through the 10th, I think you're pretty good shape as far as the crowds. You're going to run into college spring breaks, which will start happening at the end of February, beginning of March. But I don't think, you know, it's not like it's a, you know, Daytona or somewhere where a lot of college kids go. I know college kids do go to Walt Disney World. I know a couple of them that are going this summer, more than a couple. For a big bash. But, you know, I know that they go down there. But I think, you know, if you're looking for a spring window, that's not a bad one. Ricky, would you say so?
Yeah, absolutely. And the thing is that the Flower and Garden Festival will kick off on the 2nd. So that's something to keep in mind. So you may see some higher crowds at Epcot that weekend because it's the first weekend. So just kind of a warning there. But yeah, the only thing that I think you may have to worry about is spring break crowds for college kids. Yeah, I think you'll probably be okay. There's not a whole lot of college kids that are going down there. So yeah, I think you'll have moderate crowds at that point. It's still early enough, I think. So, but just watch out for Epcot during that weekend. That's all I can say.
And typical, great weather that time of year, boy. Yeah. You know, for Florida, it's not too hot, not too cold. It's just, it's prime. So
it is. I think you'll really
like, it's perfect for, your kid that's 1.5. I mean, that's a great time to be there. I think you'll have fun. You know, and podcasters' kids, they go for spring break on, what are you going to do?
Right.
So. So, Pam, you want to address this question about Universal with only one day, but trying to see the best of the best and getting the most in, and talk about Express Pass.
So, Universal has Express Pass, which you can, if you're staying on site, you actually get, that included. That's a benefit that's included with your stay on site. So, one of the things you may want to consider is staying at Universal maybe one night at the end or the beginning of your trip, just to see if that really helps you. Express Pass really means that you're getting front of the line access to most attractions there. And in addition, you also get early entry into the Wizarding World of Harry Potter. So that's something to think about. And it may just be, the way to go. If you're not going to stay on site, you can buy Express Pass. And the thing is, these sell out. There's only so many that are available each day. So if it's something that you want to do, then you're going to need to buy it soon to see if it's still available, because they do sell out. They only allow, and I don't know what the number is, I'm sure they don't publish that, but they only allow so many of these Express Passes. And what this means is it allows people who aren't staying on site to visit each one of the attractions to get in to bypass the lines for each attraction once. Now, when you're staying on site, you can bypass the lines again and again and again. The thing to note, though, is there are a few attractions that are not included on the list, and they happen to be the ones that are in the Wizarding World of Harry Potter. So my suggestion would be to go ahead and do those, the Wizarding World, first thing in the morning or the last thing at night. And there's no way to, I mean, if it were me, I couldn't wait till the last, till the night to do it. So I would have to do
that. And you may get sucked into the Wizarding World too. Details are so vast there that you can spend a good long time just exploring the Wizarding World. Now, of course, that's a little bit, you spend a little bit more time if you're a Harry Potter fan than if you're not. But even if you're not a Harry Potter fan, you still marvel at all the detail that's there. So don't think you're missing out on anything, and make sure you go early, because you will be staring at everything and going, oh, so.
Isn't there really a wall that like really literally sucks you in? I've seen that. I've seen people just disappear.
I know. What's up? Sort of. Yeah. You walk through the wall.
Yeah, you do. So, it is really cool. I don't know that you'll get to see everything in one day, especially if you're trying to do both parks.
That's gonna be tough.
Yeah, but so what I would do is pick the things that you really want to do. Make sure you make a list of the things that you're really going to want to do. And, Universal has so many cool things to see, but I would say, coming, that's the top of my head, although there's some great coasters, the Hulk is going to be down. It's in the process of being renovated right now. I don't think it'll be ready.
Summer, I think is what I'm hearing.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too, the summer.
And King Kong also summer, so don't think you're probably going to get to see that either.
But Rip Ride, Rocket, that coaster, the Minions is definitely worth seeing. I love that attraction. Spider-Man is another great one. Everything at the Wizarding World, both parks, definitely go see that. The Transformers, there's just so many great attractions. So make sure you just make a list of things that you have to see. But again, if I'm telling someone, and I know that you're splitting it between both parks, but I think that for Universal, you need at least 2 days, if not three. And the other thing I will say is we did enjoy the Cinematic Spectacular, that their nighttime show, and it's not presented every night. So you'll have to see if it's there. But we thought it was pretty cool. And it really is just kind of like a movie montage. But they did a really good job with it. There are water screens and fireworks and all of that. So, and then just one more plug for the on-site hotels. because I think that they're spectacular. I think that you can't go wrong with any of them. But there's some great on-site hotels if you want to consider staying there for at least a night.
Okay, and Universal talk is done.
Oh, please.
Wow.
I know. Yeah. I just woke myself up. All right, here we go. Next question.
Yeah, we're going to get Mallory into Harry Potter.
Absolutely.
She's going to want to go, and then you're going to have to go.
I wish I had a soundboard of her going, boring.
Yeah, we got to order those books for her.
Okay.
You know what, Pam? We should just order them for her and then have them show up at her doorstep and be like, what are these? And then, yeah, exactly.
Witchcraft. We don't allow witchcraft in this household. I had a kid when I was teaching that their parents wouldn't let them. We didn't do Harry Potter, but my buddy across the hall, Dave, did. And like they had to do a different assignment. They couldn't read it. Aww. Yeah, that's Missouri. All right, next question or comment comes from Taryn, who's going to be on a future episode here very soon on a Wednesday. So glad that she wrote in. Says, hey, Mike and gang, thanks for the many amusing conversations recently going back and forth about Rider Swap and FastPass Plus and how the two systems work together. Oh, Lord, here we go. This is always the hardest, most confusing thing ever. I just had to chip in my thoughts like everyone else's because I think this is a great system. Although it can be pretty time consuming, I think it can work out to a major advantage and help families with little ones have a chance to experience the parks in a less stressful way. Here's my thinking for a family of four at Epcot. All right, here we go. Mommy and little Mikey ride Soarin' using their first Fast Pass of the day, while Daddy and baby Ricky do Living with the Land in the standby line.
She's so cute and bold.
Yeah, look at that. She knows the show. Okay, here's the second part. Then Daddy.
Okay, sorry, I got distracted.
Yeah. Okay, so then Daddy and little Mikey ride Soarin' using their Rider Swap pass, while Mommy and baby Ricky grab lunch for the family at Sunshine Seasons. Later, Daddy rides Test Track using his first Fast Pass for the day, while Mommy and the kids hit the playground area near the Mission Space exit. Then Mommy and little Mikey ride Test Track using their Rider Swap pass, while Daddy and baby Ricky head over to Mouse Gear for some toy shopping.
I keep laughing in my head.
And then try to imagine, how did that carpet come to life and smell so funky in there?
Yeah,
true story.
That's the only thing I understand.
That's the smell of butt.
It's not good. I know. I don't know what it's sitting on top of. Anyway,
something gross,
something horrible.
Overall, I think it's awesome because Mommy and Daddy don't have to miss out on any of the big rides. Little Mikey gets to re-ride some of his favorites. You'll notice this plan only uses one Fast Pass per person. So when you multiply that by three per day, that's a huge opportunity for lots of rides for the whole family. And it's also a great way to hack the system in those parks with Fast Pass Plus tiers. Anyway, those are my thoughts. The whole thing is pretty confusing, but I think it's a nice gesture to allow young families the chance to have the same experiences as the rest of us. Love the show, guys. Keep up the great work. Taryn's in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. All right, I'm going to take your word for it, Taryn, because the only thing I was worried about was the baby Ricky and little Mikey. I couldn't get past that. Like, I couldn't comprehend anything as far as, like, I couldn't picture people walking. I know that Ricky had lunch at Sunshine Seasons and went toy shopping. No, I did. Wait, oh yeah, you went toy shopping.
I had lunch at Sunshine Seasons and I went to smell the funky carpet.
That's
so,
it.
Yeah.
So thank you for that. And we're just going to trust you there. Because you're right. I think that's exactly right, though. Because I remember when Mallory was of the age we did Rider Swap, Paige came out just golden. She got to ride everything twice. Mm-hmm. And so, Mallory is a little fast pass. That's what I used to call her. All right, TJ Frey has our next question. Good friend of the show, Mike. We used Uber on our recent trip to go from Wilderness Lodge to Kidani, and I think I'm the only one to have had a bad experience with Uber. I have a family of five, so we requested an Uber XL to ensure that we would all fit. Unfortunately, the vehicle smelled of cigarette smoke, and the driver did not know his way around property. In the end, it cost $23 for the ride, which was higher than I was expecting, and surge pricing was not in effect. To answer your question on vehicle size, Uber has a few different options. There's Uber X, which will seat at least four passengers, and Uber XL, which is more expensive but will seat up to six passengers. Good luck with the races, and be sure to check out the launch bay because it is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so, if you have a bad experience, we'll put it out here too because, Uber's not all perfect, and a lot of people do like it. And I guess it's one of those cases, Pam, I guess where you're, you know, your miles may vary or whatever they say, you know, you mileage may vary.
I think so. I mean, I just, you know, I've told you that I'm afraid of the whole process, but, and not that I'm afraid, but just wary of the whole process. I understand it. I do get it. I'm just, you know, I just got to back away.
I get it.
So anyways, but I know that so many people have great experiences with it, and I'm glad that they do. I'm glad we don't hear about more bad experiences. So,
sure.
I often wonder though, like, I know, I don't believe they're allowed to pick you up at the Orlando airport.
They are.
No.
And the other thing was, I wonder if Disney will ever say, we're not allowing Uber on Disney property, because it is private property. So
true.
I just wondered that.
Yeah, because they could easily do that with the guard checks at each of the resorts.
I know. Well, so anyways, that's what
I mean, I don't know a lot about Uber cars, but because an Uber car doesn't like have a thing on it that says Uber driver on it, it's not like a taxi. So if they just come in and say, hey, I'm picking so-and-so up, how are they going to know that it's an Uber driver? Because, like, I came and picked up Mike and, you know, was my own little Uber driver when I came to pick you up to go to Give Kids the World. And all I did was say, you know, hey, I'm coming to pick up the Rahman family. And they're like, okay. So, I mean.
But you had that cute little mustache on the front of your car.
Yes. No. That's the Lyft. And no, that's not. No. But, yeah. So, I mean, there's really no way to be able to tell. You know what I'm saying? I don't think. So. Yeah,
that's a good point.
Yeah. I don't know.
All right, let's get to the next. It's another Uber email. This one came from Facebook. And let's see, it's Angie from St. Louis, this town
yes.
here in the Midwest.
So Angie is actually a friend of my brother's who listens to the podcast.
Oh, hey, friend of Casey's.
Yes.
I was listening to your podcast and have tips about Uber. There are different size Ubers. The Uber X normally seats 4 people. There are luxury Ubers, which are normally your coupes or your fancy cars. You also see a picture of your Uber driver and the car they're driving. You do not enter the amount in your party. Okay, I guess you don't. It is very quick, and I've used it several times while in Chicago. You also do not have to tip with Uber, but you can if you would like. They get like 80% of the ride. You can also cancel it within 5 minutes and not be charged if you end up not liking the driver it shows. Also a tip, let them address you by name so you know that you're not getting a fake Uber driver. That'd be bad.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I can't imagine. Let's see. One last thing. Because they would probably, you know, like if you got a fake Uber driver at Disney, they'd probably take you to Universal. Like be, you know, against your will and drop you off. And you'd be stuck.
They made the experience fun at Harry Potter World.
Yeah, exactly.
Awful.
Oh my gosh, that's my nightmare. Drop me off at SeaWorld. Is it still
SeaWorld's
open?
SeaWorld's not bad either. Yeah, SeaWorld's still open. Summer. And whenever Christmas, yeah. You're okay. Fine.
One last thing. If you down the road... let's see, it gives you a code and you can invite the rest of the people in your party to download it. Everyone who downloads off your code gets $20 and a free ride. And if someone uses your code, you will get $10 towards a ride. That way you get free rides the entire time your party is large. Make sure everyone only signs up with each other's code so you get the free rides. I also have ridden in them by myself. It's very safe and there are women drivers. I also plan on using it while down there in February. Angie. So Angie's a big Uber fan. Just make sure you don't get the fake Uber
fake
and end up at SeaWorld, I guess.
Yeah.
You know,
that's probably not a good idea.
Know, Splash and whatever that is, the water park. What'd I say?
Wet and Wild?
Wet and Wild. That's yeah. The one I was thinking of. Yeah.
Okay. All right. That's good.
Next email comes from Heather, and she is in New Hampshire. It says, hi, Mike and the gang. My family and I will be visiting Walt Disney World the last week of February 2016, and we have found your podcast to be extremely helpful in planning our trip. We will be arriving Saturday the 20th, and our first day in the parks will be Sunday the 21st. We have an 8:15 breakfast reservation for Be Our Guest, and we're hoping to get in line right away for Anna and Elsa when the park opens at 9. Will this be possible without a long wait? I'm worried about the crowds because of the Princess Half Marathon. I was able to get an Anna and Elsa Fast Pass for Friday of our vacation week, but I have a scheduled at another park because of the predicted crowd levels. Should I keep that fast pass in case we aren't able to get in and see Anna and Elsa right away on Sunday, or do you think we'll be able to see them without too much of a wait at park opening? Okay, so let's stop there. She has one more question after that. I would say that chances are, and I, you know, if we're going to put odds on it, we're not playing odds makers today, but if I was, I would say about 85% you're going to be good on that day right after breakfast, because most people, now some people are, but most people aren't going to be running to Anna and Elsa. And the Fuhrer's kind of died down over the past couple of months, especially with the release of Star Wars. I think even, I don't know, just like, it's like the new hot thing. And I think it kind of keeps Frozen on the back burner slightly more than it was a couple months ago, even though they're kind of two different things.
Sorry, Frozen on the back burner. Did anyone else see that?
I'm very punny. But anyway, so, I mean, Ricky, what would you say? I mean, I would say 85% you're good. Do you get rid of that fast pass for later in the week? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're probably okay. I haven't seen the Frozen Mania be as strong as it once was. I know that the lines are still long for, you know, meeting Anna and Elsa sometimes, but I think that in the morning you're going to be okay if you go first thing. I mean, yeah, you may have to wait still, but you're still going to have a wait. But it probably won't be as bad, although I really, you know, obviously I don't get there for rope drop, so I really don't know the answer to that question either. So, but everything that I've seen seems to indicate that the fever is slowing down for Frozen.
Fire.
Get it?
Fire
Frozen. For Frozen. Frozen yeah. Fever. Yeah, get it? Okay.
You're very funny too.
Yep.
All right. So Pam, what would you say? I mean, they're eating breakfast at 8:15 to be our guests, so they're just a hop, skip, and a jump away from Princess Fairytale Hall, but you're not going to get out of breakfast until, say, 9:15, 9:30. It'll be 9:45 by the time you get over there. But I would still say, if I were to guess, now with Princess Weekend, you know, there's going to be a lot of princess fever down there. A lot of people wanting to get their pictures. But, you know, at 9:45, I would say the wait wouldn't be more than an hour, would you think?
I would hope not. I really would. And that's what I was going to say, too. Breakfast is going to take a while. Yeah. Like, the last time we went there for breakfast, because they bring, you know, they do bring your food to you, but it takes a little bit to get to you. So, and it did take us a while to eat. So, I'm agreeing with Mike that you're probably not going to be out of there till 9:15 or 9:30. And I'm sure you don't want to rush that breakfast because it's kind of a fun thing. I mean, I think it's fun to be and be our guest. I really like the restaurant. I think it's really pretty. So I think you want to enjoy your time there. I believe like Mike that the lines for that aren't quite as long as they once were. I mean, they really used to be horrible. And the last time that we've been there, we have not seen lines even later in the day to be that bad. So just something to think about.
Mm-hmm. All right. She has one more question. We are huge Star Wars fans that are hoping the Star Wars fireworks will continue to be offered nightly through the end of February. What do you think the likelihood is of us being able to see them on Tuesday, the 23rd? Thanks so much for your help. You guys are always full of awesome tips and tricks. Again, that's Heather up in New Hampshire. All right, Ricky, so what's the status of the, what is it, Symphony in the Stars over at the studios?
Oh, I wish you hadn't. I wish I would have learned that.
Yeah, it's through March. March? Yeah.
Okay, that's what I was going to say. I was like, I think it's through March, but
And what's funny is I think it's March 19th is the day that they said it was through. I'm not sure. Don't quote me on that because I'm not sure for sure. But one of the things that we've noticed is they're not putting it on the schedule till the times, because here we are, it's the beginning of February. They do not have it on the schedule, although it's scheduled to go through until for the month of March yet. So that's something that we've been seeing. One of the things you can do, though, is look and see what time the dessert party is, and that may give you an indication. Because
they're not going to have a dessert party and not have fireworks.
Exactly.
Wait, what's the date? What was the date, Mike? You said the...
Tuesday the 23rd, I believe.
The 23rd, I can tell you. It looks like the hour is 8 o'clock. So it looks like they're at 8 o'clock on Tuesday the 23rd. So
the fireworks will be happening on Tuesday the 23rd.
Correct. Yeah.
The fireworks will be happening on Tuesday the 23rd. No, I'm using a Jedi mind trick on all of you guys.
I got it. Ricky will never get that.
No, yeah, no, that's it. No.
Sorry. Is Matt around from, with the Star Wars undercover boss?
I have no idea what you're talking about. Anyway.
Oh, Mike, you should have seen it. It was from Saturday Night Live.
Oh, the Kylo Ren thing that everybody was sending me?
Yes, it was hysterical.
I gotta watch that. I still gotta watch that. Everybody was sending that to me.
I can't believe I have to watch it. Get your Apple TV and turn it on tonight. It was hysterical.
All right. All right, Katie has the next email. It says, Happy New Year. But yeah, we appreciate that. Happy February. My family of four, myself, Disney husband, daughter who is 9 and son who is 12 will be taking our, let me just stop here. When they put, when people put, and I see this all the time on Trip Report, it's like DH, DD, 9, DS, 12. Does that mean
so
Disney
I've
daughter?
Always assumed it meant Disney husband, Disney, you know, daughter. But I've also heard it means dear.
Dear, yeah.
I think it works better at Disney because it makes more sense to me. But
I've always wondered that in my head. So I just, right here, I'm putting it out here in front of thousands.
Is it Disney or dear? Let us know. Put Facebook, let us know.
But it's her.
This is a dumb Facebook question, but I'm going to put it out there.
Yeah, we have fun. That's why we enjoy doing the shows. Sure. You know, we can talk about this stuff. So the herself, her DH, her DD9, and her DS12.
Do you think it's Disney or do you think it's deer?
Well, I think originally it was deer because
I think originally it was deer too.
Yeah. So, but I think that if you're a Disney fan, you can say Disney.
All right.
What if it was DD, D, like for Disney daughter? Dear Disney Daughter 9. You could have like
Dear
triple
Disney
D.
Daughter, I know. Yeah, look at
that. That's another thing. We're starting that on Facebook, people. There you go. Extra D. Anyway, her family of four is taking their first trip to Walt Disney World for a 7-night stay at the end of February, beginning of March. We're lucky to have my mom and my mother-in-law to join us for part of the trip. We're staying in a royal room at Port Orleans Riverside. Touring plans in this podcast have been the most valuable tools in planning our trip. We elected to do a package with the dining plan and 5 days of single park tickets. Something that is difficult to picture in my head is how the nightly entertainment of the Electrical Parade, Celebrate the Magic, and then Wishes rolls out. We fast passed the Electrical Parade because my mother will be with us and we want to ensure easy, good seats. The Electrical Parade is something my mom and I remember enjoying together out in Disneyland when I was a kid. I want to be sure my kids get a fantastic experience with this parade. So I opted to use FastPass Plus, even though it means we lose the ability during the park day to do a rolling fourth FastPass. For us, this is worth it. So my question is this. How do we move from the FastPass Plus seating for the Electrical Parade to a place where we can see both Celebrate the Magic and Wishes without too much difficulty? I've read about different spots to watch these shows, but wonder if they won't already be completely packed before we're finished with the Electrical Parade. Please, can you help describe how these shows work and how much you have to move around and stake out a location for them? Given we'll be in the FastPass Plus seating for the Electrical Parade, where's the best place to move from there to see Celebrate the Magic? And do we need to move again for Wishes? Thank you, and I'd be happy to submit a trip report when we get back. We lived in Africa for many years and have been on real safaris.
Awesome.
So I'm super curious about how Animal Kingdom compares to the real deal. Maybe your listeners would be interested in what our impressions are of that park. I'm very much looking forward to the layout and presentation and possible immersion Animal Kingdom offers, and am keeping an open eye that I can be impressed, which is a little bit difficult given the amazing landscape and animal life I experienced in Africa. Again, thank you for the valuable podcast, and that's Katie. So thanks, Katie. That's awesome. You lived in Africa. Yeah. Man, that was very cool. And I definitely, when you get back, let me know, because first time trips and Riverside, I mean, this thing's got a great show written all over it. So Pam, I'll let you kind of address the, and I like her idea, you know, it's like nostalgia. They want to go back and have the very best experience with the Main Street Electrical Parade, tying back to earlier in life out in Disneyland to kind of have that nostalgia feel. And you know what? There's no right or wrong answer. You don't have to apologize that you got a fast pass for the parade. I think that's a great call given your circumstances. And the fourth fast pass isn't always what it's all cracked up to be anyway. So how could you go about seeing the parade with the fast pass, Celebrate the Magic and Wishes?
So what's funny is that these locations, well, some of them have changed a bit since FastPass Plus was first introduced. But right now, I believe the parade viewing for both the afternoon parade and Electrical Magic, Main Street Electrical Magic Parade.
One of those parades, yeah.
Main Street Electrical Spectrum Magic Parade, I want to call it, but no, you can't do that. But anyways, it's down by the flagpole, so kind of at the beginning of Main Street, walking toward the castle, kind of in front of, not right in front of the train station, but closer, the side closer to Main Street. And you will still be able to see the fireworks from there. But in most cases, what happens is after the parade goes through, the middle of the street is open and available for you to move up into wherever you want to be. I don't think the back of Main Street is the best place to see the fireworks. Now, some may argue that because it lets you get out of there really quick at the end of the night if you're kind of, you know, in that location in the same kind of area. But I like to be a little closer to the castle. I really like to kind of be up around Casey's. And I think that's a good way to do it. The great thing is, if you can see the fireworks, you're also going to be able to see Celebrate the Magic, yep. which they often do before and after the fireworks if there are, you know, two shows of it showing that night. Sometimes there's only one. So, you know, be aware of that too. But it's a great location for that. And I think they're really all worth seeing. I think that oftentimes, you know, when people who are really like, I'm going to Disney World, I'm going to do all the attractions, I'm going to do all the rides, I'm going to do all whatever. Although they oftentimes will see maybe the fireworks, they don't all see the parade, Celebrate the Magic, and then the fireworks. And I think they're all really worth seeing. I mean, Disney really does that kind of entertainment, I think, better than anyone else. It's just spectacular. I still really even enjoy Celebrate the Magic, and we've seen it so many times. But there's just something about that show that I think as you're watching it, it's really amazing technology, and it still tends to wow me. And of course, their fireworks are beyond compare, and the nighttime parades are just fantastic. So I think what you'll want to do is whenever the parade is over, just walk down right down the middle of Main Street, go up as far as you want to go, and you'll be able to find a spot. I think you'll be okay.
And here's what I would say. I'd echo that. I'd try to be on Main Street between Casey's and that little, what's it called, Center Street, the halfway point on Main Street USA, that little half street on the right as you're facing the castle. Somewhere there in the middle, you know, in front of Starbucks or wherever. I would have somebody go get us ice cream in between there, you know, and hold everybody else hold the area, and you'll have some ice cream there because you're right next to the ice cream shop across the street from Casey's. But I echo what you say, and especially you want to be close enough to see Celebrate the Magic. The fireworks from back there are going to be fine, but you want to see what's projected on the castle. And that's one of those moments that it's your first time to Walt Disney World. You're going to be blown away by that. I still am blown away by
how the
castle appears to take off and just do cool stuff. You need to be close enough to be able to take that in. So don't be, you know, be around Casey's, not too much further back, so you can take that in. So, Ricky, any thoughts on this? And then we'll get to the next email.
I think you guys have it exactly right. I would move up to around Casey's after the fire, after you see the parade. And that's exactly where I would stand. You shouldn't have too much trouble, I would assume. You know, you may have to, it may be a little more difficult to walk, you know, walk down the street. But a lot of other people are going to be filling in that space too, because it hasn't, it's open space after the parade, because, you know, the parade just went through. So you should be able to walk up the Main Street just, you know, pretty quickly. So you should be all right.
And have a great time. It's going to be a great trip. Great time to be down there. So let us know how it goes. All right. Last question of the day comes from Bill. And he says, hey, everyone, my 5-year-old daughter, her grandmother and I will be visiting Walt Disney World this April 29th through May 3rd. We're only going to the Magic Kingdom one day, and we'd like your advice for activities that all three of us would enjoy while we're in town. I've made dinner reservations one night at Sanaa, assuming that we can kill an hour or two beforehand exploring the Animal Kingdom Lodge. Others have recommended afternoon tea at the Grand Floridian. Can you think of any other suggestions? We are splitting our time between Coronado Springs and an offsite resort, if that changes things. Thanks a lot. And Bill is up in Vermont. So we got both New Hampshire and Vermont, the two states that always got me on geography quizzes in elementary school until I figured out Vermont is kind of shaped like a V. So tip for you there.
I did not know that. Yes. So I learned something new too.
I hope that's true. I think that's what I finally came to. But anyway, back to the question.
Mike's maybe wrong.
Yeah, back to the question at hand. So we got Bill, you got his 5-year-old daughter and grandma visiting. So you got three generations there at Disney World, late April, early May. Looking to do Grand Floridian tea? Great call. Pam, I think you like that. You always talk about that, right?
We do. It's a great experience. And the great news is that they also have a tea for younger kids. Yeah. So Mrs. Potts tea will be awesome if she doesn't like tea. And you can get chocolate milk instead of the tea. So it's awesome. And they make sandwiches that are more appealing to kids. But yeah, it's a fun experience for sure.
In Sanaa, going over to the Animal Kingdom Lodge, you will have no problems exploring the Animal Kingdom Lodge because you have live animals there and very exotic animals. And just the lodge itself, forget the animals. It's worth exploring, too. You'll be over at Kidani Village for Sanaa. Make sure you get the bread service. Everybody says that, but you got to get it.
So good.
Oh, man, it's so good. You get every dip. Get all the dips.
Yes.
Don't skimp. Get them all. Uh-huh. They're so good.
Sorry.
And so do that. Ricky, what else might they consider there? You know, three generations, kind of looking for some offsite stuff. They're only going to the Magic Kingdom one day.
Oh my gosh. So are they, they're staying, they're going to the outside the parks the rest of the day, I'm guessing. Are they, is it just one day that they're needing stuff for? Or?
No, they're just kind of, looks like they're going to be there for about 4 days. They're splitting the time between Coronado and an offsite resort, but only going to the Magic Kingdom one day.
So I'm going to say to go, and I know this, I don't, you know, I'm not sure how much grandma would enjoy it, but I know my mom would probably enjoy doing this and, you know,
Space
stuff
Mountain,
like that.
Right? Space
Mountain. Yes, Space Mountain. Mountain, exactly. Actually, my mom does enjoy doing Space Mountain, but only because of the memories. So anyway, no, what I'm going to say is I'm going to say to go and play mini golf. I think that that would be a really fun activity to do with the whole family as, you know, and watch everybody try to attempt. Don't do the hard one at Fantasia Gardens. I would say if you're going to do a mini golf course, go to Winter Summerland. But that's my suggestion.
What about, here's another thing. What about, and I know they used to do this at Riverside, but you can't do it anymore, but renting a pontoon boat for a couple hours. Can you still do that like out at the Contemporary?
Yeah. Yeah.
Around the Polynesian, do they still? I mean, because I think I've seen them still going around. Because I think, you know, a pontoon boat's not real aggressive, and
right.
I think, like, you know, you could get some time. Because when you're on the pontoon boat, you kind of just sit and maybe have some snacks and talk and take in the beauty, especially that time of year, late April, early May, beautiful weather. You get out there and you get to see a different perspective of, you know, Seven Seas Lagoon or Bay Lake, and you know, I think the 5-year-old would go crazy for that. I mean, they still do the pontoons, right, Pam, out of the deluxe resort?
I thought they did. At some location, I thought that they did, because we've seen them at different spots. I think maybe at the resorts on Bay Lake and the Seven Seas Lagoon.
I think they do. Yeah, I think so.
If not, just go parasailing with Grandma, you know?
Yeah, Grandma will love that, I'm sure.
Because I know they still do that. Yeah. All right, Bill, thanks so much for the question up in Vermont. We appreciate that so much. And hey, send in your questions. We're getting down there again, so send them to Mike at BeOurGuestPodcast.com, and we will get to those right away. Today's episode of the show, as always, brought to you by the good folks over at VirtualMickey.com, home of great iPhone apps like Theme Park News, Disney Edition. And thanks to all those listeners this past week who have tweeted out that they're, you know, reading Theme Park News, Disney Edition, keeping up on everything going on at their favorite place. It puts everything right there in one app in the palm of your hand. You know what's going on at the studios. You know what's going on over at Animal Kingdom. You can keep track of new offers, just everything you need to know in one place. And the best part about this is it is absolutely free. So no risk. You have lots of reward. I use this app every night before bed. It's a great way just to keep up on the news. And, you know, it's going to be a while before I'm back, and it helps me stay connected to Walt Disney World. So drop by virtualmickey.com today. Download Theme Park News Disney Edition. You will not regret it. All right. Also, check out Magical Mouse Radio. I'm glad to say that. Yes, it's February 3rd and we're still on the air. I don't know if anybody checked out Live 365 on Monday, but it's totally gone. I mean, like,
I checked it out on Sunday. It was gone. So
did you see that? Like, I mean, it looks like, you know, if you forget to pay your bill for your blog, I mean, it's exactly what it looks like. Like,
no,
this site is no longer here. But we are now over on what's called Radionomy. So we have a new platform. You can still check us out at magicalmouseradio.com. You can check out the station on TuneIn. You can check out the station on your Roku. You can check it out on your Amazon Echo. If you have an Alexa, or if you have an Echo, hey, Alexa, I just woke your Echo up, maybe. But yeah, it's great. So there's lots of ways, but the TuneIn app is the best way to tune in on the go. The desktop app is, you know, web page there works great as well. There's a Chrome plugin, which I put on the Magical Mouse Radio Facebook page. Lots of ways to listen. Actually, a lot more ways to listen now. So check that out over at MagicalMouseRadio.com. The next Be Our Guest Podcast live show is coming your way on Sunday night, February 21st, 8 o'clock Eastern, 7 o'clock Central. It's going to be at BeOurGuestPodcast.com/live. BeOurGuestPodcast.com/live for the next Be Our Guest Podcast live show on February 21st. Give us a follow on Twitter. We're at Be Our Guest Mike. Also, follow the radio station on Twitter. We have a new Twitter that is going there to kind of keep you up to date with what's going on with that. That's at MMR Disney World. Again, at MMR for Magical Mouse Radio Disney World. And you'll be able to keep up with everything happening on the station. We also have a Facebook page, facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast and facebook.com/MagicalMouseRadio if you want to keep up with that. And drop our forums, BeOurGuestPodcast.com/forums. All right, it's time to get out of here. Let's get on with your Wednesday. Thank you, as always, for writing in the questions and the comments. We appreciate those so much. Keep those coming. We hope you enjoyed today's show. So for Ricky, Debbie, and Pam, I'm Mike. Wishing you a great Wednesday. Get back to work. And we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.